This morning, we're going to look at one of those defining stories in someone's life. We're looking at a guy by the name of Paul and a story that was very defining for him. And it was one of those stories that he seemed to tell over and over and over again. Have you ever been around somebody like that where they have the same stories they tell over and over and over again? Why is everyone looking at me? And so, you know, there are people who are like that. In fact, my favorite movie is a movie called Big Fish, and it's a story about a man who tells lots of stories, the fish tales, if you will. And they're exaggerated, they're extreme, they're elaborate, but it defines who he is because of the stories that had shaped his life and the way that he told them over and over and over again. I don't know if you have a story like that. Maybe it's something from your childhood or early life that you just keep coming back to and you tell over and over and over again. I remember when I was growing up, there was a story that I would tell quite a bit, and it's a story about how I got my first significant scar. When I was growing up, my mom was a school teacher. Any school teacher kids out there, you know the plight of this. Mom had to stay late after school to finish things up in her classroom and have meetings and things of that nature, which meant I had to figure out something to do during those after-school hours. Well, one day when I was in first or second grade, I found myself running around the hallways, if you can imagine this, and I'm running around the hallway, and I had a tragic circumstance happen to me that day. I was running, and we had one of those, the bathrooms where, you know, you don't have a door, but you have the opening, and then there's a barrier wall, so you kind of have to zigzag around it to get into the bathroom. So this opening with these concrete walls was there waiting me as I was running down the hallway. So I'm running full speed, and I misjudged the timing and the angle of the turn into the bathroom. And so the center of my forehead found the corner of the bathroom opening. To which you were probably thinking to yourself, this explains so much. This explains all of it. It was tragic what happened to me. I found myself with blood trickling down my face, crying uncontrollably, and I ended up having to get stitches, and it left a scar. Now, I told that story a lot when I was growing up. For one reason, it was a way of explaining the scar in the middle of my forehead. I was actually noticing this morning as I was getting ready that you don't really notice that scar as much anymore because there are other wrinkles and crevices in my face. One of the benefits of getting older, I guess, you don't have to explain your scars anymore. But that particular scar was one that defined me early on. You know, communities are like this too. There are stories that are a part of the community that you get told over and over again because they explain something that happened that had a purpose behind it, that had an experience within it that ultimately over time would define the group of people. When I first moved here and started asking people, what are the congregation's stories? What's the soul of this church? There was a story that happened before anyone here was alive that it had defined so much of the experience of this congregation's history. It was a story about how in 1904, the church burned and then they immediately rebuilt. The story was always told from that perspective. The church burned, but we immediately rebuilt. And that story was defining in the life of the congregation, and it's one that shaped generations that would come and follow after it. And what I've discovered is that when we think about these stories that are defining us, it's not just about something that happened to us. It's about how we respond to what happened to us. It's about how we respond to these stories and to these impactful moments and how our lives transpire after that moment takes place. And the word that I kept coming back to as I thought about these stories, as I thought about what it means for us to live a life where we respond in the right kind of way to the things that we experience and we see God's grace in the move of in the experience of them, the word I kept coming back to is the word that we're going to focus on for the next few weeks as we start this new school year, as we head into the fall, and it's the word intentional. Intentional. How we respond to the experiences that we have, how we respond to the stories that might define us, if we are intentional about it, it can dramatically change how God can use that story and how God can use it for a purpose. And so over the course of the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at that idea of intentionality and how if we are intentional in our faith, we can get somewhere great that God might be leading us. We can go somewhere holistic that the church might be led to through the leading of the Spirit. if we are intentional in following what God might be calling us to do. Because I think within this story that we're looking at this morning, there was an intentionality behind what Paul experienced and how he responded to it. And so this morning, I want to just invite you just to kind of think for a minute. What are the stories that define you? What are the stories that have defined your life? Is there something that happened to you that defines your experience? Is there something that you did? It could be a mistake. It could be something that was out of your control. It could be anything. But what are the experiences and the stories that have defined your life? And how are they defining your life today? When we look back on our life journey, how we respond to those life-defining stories and how we are intentional about how they might be used can have a dramatic impact on what our life ultimately looks like and how our story unfolds from within that. And many of us, we look back on our lives and we've got stories maybe of failure, we've got stories maybe of difficult setbacks, we've got hurts, disappointments, struggles that we have worked through. And many of those things can define us, and how we respond can have a significant impact on how our story will unfold. And as we think about this question, what are the stories that define you? I think there are really kind of three ways that we respond to these type experiences. We respond to these type moments. And these are what I would call kind of your intentionality roles. How are you intentionally responding to something that you experience? The first is playing the role of the victim. Now, this is something that when something happens to you, you can feel as though you were a victim. You can feel as though it has happened to you, that there's nothing you could do to respond to it. And that hurt can grow into anger. It can grow into bitterness. It could grow into something that could really derail your story. And I want to say this very pastorally. When I say this, I'm not being critical of people who have to take time to heal. That is a natural part of the experience of moving through difficulty in our life, is taking the time to heal. But if we are intentional about that healing, if we are intentional about how we respond to the things that have negatively impacted us, that can shift and change the dynamic of how God might could use that in our story. And so the victim mentality, that there might be an experience of acknowledging the grief. We talked about that last week as we wrapped up our soundtrack series. Acknowledging the hurt, acknowledging the pain, but then seeing how God can move through it to cause something beautiful to birth out of it. The second is we could play the role of the villain. Now, when you think about playing the role of the villain, this is okay to understand if you get convicted and you realize that you did something wrong to cause something difficult that you walked through. We all make mistakes. We all go through difficulty that is sometimes self-imposed. But what we don't want to do is stay in the role of the villain. Because if you stay in the role of the villain, your defining story can become, I am a person who is unworthy. I am a person who cannot overcome this. I made the mistake. I made the shortcoming. I caused this to go wrong. And because of that, there is nothing that can be redeemed beyond that. But there's a third way that moves beyond victimhood, moves beyond being the villain, and it is being the victor. And the victor is when we experience, even though it might be something difficult that happened to us, even though we experience something that maybe we failed, maybe we came up short, even though we go through those type experiences, the victor is one who sees how God can redeem our difficulties, God can redeem our shortcomings, He can redeem our hurts, our disappointments, and the other things that set us back in life. And He can redeem it in such a way to have a tangible purpose that follows from it that can make a difference not only in our lives, but in the lives of people around us as well. I believe it was that spirit and that understanding of intentionality that Paul recognized in his own journey. Now, as we turn to this passage, we're looking at 1 Timothy, and over the course of the series, we're going to look at 1 and 2 Timothy, which were two letters that were written by Paul late in his life to his protege, kind of his son in the faith, by the name of Timothy. Now, the story goes like this. Paul travels all over the world. He's traveling all over the known world, all around the Mediterranean basin, and he's spreading the gospel to churches for people of the Gentile background. And so these are people who are not Jewish. They did not have the Jewish upbringing that Paul himself had. They were what would be called non-Jews or Gentiles, is the way that they're described in the New Testament. And he would go and he would spread the gospel to them, and he would start these churches, start these communities of faith. And it was incredible just to see what he did in his lifespan, all the churches he started, all the people he reached. And as he would go along and travel, he would have these different companions that would go with him. Usually he would have someone younger that he was training up in the faith. And Timothy was one of his most famous companions. Timothy traveled along with him through many of his missionary journeys. And then later in life, Paul heard that Ephesus, which was a church that he had been with for 3 years, was going through some difficulty. They had false teachers that had risen up. They were struggling to stay faithful to the gospel. And he recognized that they needed some significant help there. So he sends Timothy, his beloved son in the faith, his protege, to go and pastor this church. And what we find in 1 and 2 Timothy is he is giving the guidance to Timothy of how do you guide this church as they navigate the difficulties of faith. Now, here's why this is important to us today. Most of you are not going out to pastor. Most of you are not going out to start a church. Most of you are not facing the kinds of difficulty that Timothy might have faced in that day. But the wisdom that Paul shares in his story and how he wants to transfer his wisdom and his experiences of the faith to his young protege in the faith, they are so rich with guidance for our lives that as we find ourselves in a world in which we live, in which people are turning away from the faith, in which people are not following God the way that the Bible calls us to follow God, as we find ourselves in a world where people are struggling with their own addictions, mistakes, shortcomings, hurts, and setbacks, these words can speak so much into our contemporary situation and so much into the lives that we live. So even if you are not going out to be a Timothy and pastor a church in Ephesus, when you go to your job, when you go to your school, when you interact with your family, when you're plugged into a social group, these are the same principles of wisdom that can make a tangible difference in your life. And so Paul begins by kind of giving this charge to Timothy, and before he's really going to get into that, he kind of harkens back to the story that had defined him. It would have been a story that Timothy might have even rolled his eyes at a little bit, thinking to himself, I have heard this story so many times, but we're going to see why Paul keeps coming back to this story. He says in verse 12, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. Now I want us to pause right here because this is the crux of everything that has happened in Paul's life since his conversion. We got to give the background of this. Paul had been a faithful Jew. He had followed the law as legalistically as you could follow the law. And when Christianity emerged, he viewed it as a threat to his traditional Jewish faith, and so he became a persecutor of Christians. He was literally orchestrating the killing of Christians and trying to stop the spread of Christianity, described here in verse 13 as acting in ignorance and unbelief. But something incredible happens. In Acts chapter 9, we are told that Paul is going to a place called Damascus, and as he is on his way, going to persecute Christians there, he has this blinding light experience where Jesus appears to him. He is blinded for a few days, but Jesus calls him to stop persecuting the church and instead be raised up as a faithful follower of Jesus and lead others to the faith. Paul does a complete 180 in his life. He leaves his past life behind him. He leaves his standing in the Jewish faith and the Jewish community behind him. He describes it in Philippians as considering it all worthless for the sake of knowing Jesus and pursuing Jesus with his life. And so he makes this incredible transition, this 180 from being someone who was against Jesus to now he is proclaiming Jesus. Within just a few days, he is preaching the grace of Jesus Christ. He goes and he starts all these churches, and he spends the rest of his life leading the church and leading people to know the grace of Jesus. And it was because he experienced it himself. How do we know that? These words right here in verse 13. Even though I was once, and then he describes who he was once, a blasphemer, persecutor, violent man. He says, I was shown mercy. Now, when you hear those two phrases, even though I was once, and then you hear the next one, I was shown mercy. I think all of us who have lived life a little bit could probably find something to fill the blank in between even though I was once and I was shown mercy. Your story that maybe has defined you might go something along the lines of, even though I was once unfaithful, I was shown mercy. Even though I was once an addict, I was shown mercy. Even though I was once angry and bitter for what people had done to me, I was shown mercy. Even though I made the worst mistake I could possibly imagine, I was shown mercy. Even though I was once the sinner of all sinners, as Paul would describe himself in just a couple of verses later, I was shown mercy. Those two phrases are what we understand to be the gospel message that Jesus invites each of us to experience in our lives. The gospel is all about, even though I was once, I was shown mercy. Even though I made this mistake, I was shown mercy. Even though I fell short, I was shown mercy. And this becomes the story that Paul tells over and over and over again. He doesn't always tell it exactly in that phrase. But if you read Galatians, if you read Philippians, if you read Ephesians, if you read Romans, you read all of the New Testament over and over again, you're going to hear every time Paul interjects his story, it is, even though I was once, I was shown mercy. He knew what it was like to make a mistake. He knew what it was like to be ignorant. He knew what it was like to work against God. But he was shown mercy, and God used it to redeem the rest of his life. The story that defined him did not leave him a victim or a villain. It led him to experience what it was like to be a victor through the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ. And he says it this way in the next verse, 14. He says, the grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly. I love that word, abundantly. Along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. He experienced what it was like to go from, even though I was once, to being shown mercy. And he experiences the grace of the Lord was poured out over him, along with the faith and the love that are in Christ Jesus. His story changed, and it pivoted on those phrases. And here's what this calls us to do as we think about our stories and we look at the ones that ought to define us. We want to find the stories in our life where we see what God has done, where we see what God has done. Paul knew his story so intrinsically and so powerfully because of what God had done, because of the grace that he experienced, because he knew what it was like to be a sinner, because he knew what it was like to fall short of the glory of God, because he knew what it was like to be completely ignorant of the will of God in his life. He knew how powerful and life-changing it was that God could redeem even that. Even though I was once, I was shown mercy. And because he experienced that, he experienced something that God did in him. It wasn't about a victory that he intentionally could live into himself, but as he experienced the grace of God, he intentionally began to walk in it and to live in it, and he intentionally let it shape and mold his story for the rest of his life. Now, how do we know that? Because here's what he says in the next verse. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. In other words, what Paul is saying here is, he's like, I don't have to wonder if God can save you. I don't have to wonder if God can redeem your story, because I'm just going to go ahead and put it out there for you. I'm the worst of sinners. If we're going to, you know, calculate who sinned the most, he's like, I'm just going to go ahead and take credit as being the worst. don't know if you've ever been around somebody like that, but I've been around a few people who have told some testimonies where they tried to claim the title of worst of sinners. But Paul is like, I'm just going to get it out of the way. I'm going to tell you that I am the worst of sinners and that Jesus came to save even me. I heard a pastor say it this one time. He said, if there's hope for Paul, there's hope for all. If Paul can be redeemed, if Paul can tell the story, even though I was shown mercy, every single one of us can look back on our life. We can look back on our mistakes. We can look back on the difficulties we've experienced, the hurts, the setbacks, the pain, the mistakes. We can look back on all of that and still say, even though I was once, I was shown mercy. Because if there's hope for Paul, there's hope for all. And Paul sees it as not just something that happened for him, it happened for others as well. Verse 16, he says, but for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, then he uses his calling card again, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Paul is giving us the thesis statement of what his ministry is all about. And what is his ministry all about? It is the grace that I have been shown that I did not deserve saved me. And it happened for a reason. And that reason is that other people would hear that message. That other people would look at me and they would see that if God can redeem even him, God can redeem me. So to the sinner, to the addict, to the person struggling, to the person who can't seem to move past victimhood and villainhood, they can look at it and they can see if Paul can be redeemed, that I can be redeemed as well. And what people experienced when they encountered Paul and they encountered his message was over and over and over again, there was a story of redemption that played out that not only defined Paul, but it also defined the people that he interacted with. And Paul is able here towards the end of his life, as he's guiding Timothy and encouraging him in the faith and informing him and guiding him into what it means to lead people to have an unshakable faith in Jesus, one that's intentional and is filled with purpose, he can look at them and he can say, I know why this happened. And for us, when we want to truly see the stories that define us that God has redeemed, we should be able to look back on them and see why God did it. Why God let us walk through that difficult valley. Why God let us struggle through whatever it was we struggled through. Why God took compassion on us, that even though we might have been the worst of all sinners, we were still shown mercy. We can look back and we can see that it is for a purpose, that it is for a kingdom, that it is for the building of God's kingdom here on earth as others come to believe and others come to receive because they see the power of God's grace at work within the lives of other people. Now I imagine that if we were to go around the room, we could find many stories like this. We could find many people who have walked through difficult experiences. We can find many people who have made gigantic mistakes. We can find that God can redeem those stories. And for some of us, we might find ourselves like a little boy who ran down the hallway and hit his head on the concrete wall and fell bleeding to the ground, and we might just want to stay there. It might just seem like the right thing to do to just stay there and wallow in our pain. But that story that defined me didn't end there. I had to get up. I had to live my life. I had a scar that was left by it. But that didn't change the fact that it was something that God could redeem in my life and that my life could keep moving forward. I say that I told that story a lot when I was growing up. In the time that I've been the pastor here, I've told that story one time in a sermon. So it's not a story I tell over and over again at this stage of life. But it is a story that I tell over and over again at this stage of life. It's just not always about the boy hitting his head on the wall. It's about recognizing the things that God can redeem in our lives. Recognizing the things that God can redeem even when we feel as though they cannot be redeemed. It's seeing where God is at work and showing his mercy that even though I was once and I walked through a challenge, I walked through a mistake, I walked through a difficulty, God is there to keep showing mercy over and over and over again. And through his grace, through his redemption, he's able to bring us out of that and lead us forward with an intentional purpose that can be used for his glory and used for others to see and experience the redemption of God. And when we think about our stories, we want to move beyond being the victim, move beyond being the villain. And the desire that I hope that we have is that we could live into being the victor instead. But when we think about being the victor, it's not about us becoming the hero. Often when we hear the phrase, be the victor, we think of ourselves as the hero. But that's not what the gospel is all about. The victor is Jesus Christ. The victor is the one who has set us free. The victor is the one who went to the cross and conquered our sin and death. And he was raised to new life, and we are invited into that new life so that even though we were once, we can be shown mercy through Jesus Christ. And so our stories become redefined. The ones that might have defined us in a negative sense can be redefined through that mercy, through that grace, as God's redemption moves through us. When I think about the story of the fire of 1904, a lot of people tell that story, but other people tell other stories about how the church got knocked down, then immediately got back up. It's just what we do here at First Methodist. Setbacks, it's part of life. God calls us to live into his redemption and to see what might happen next through his grace and through his mercy, as his grace is poured out abundantly on us, and also the faith and the love that comes through Jesus Christ. So this morning, I just want to invite you to reflect on a few questions. These are just a few as I was reading this past week that I kind of kept circling back to, thinking about how Paul views this story as so defining that he keeps telling it over and over and over again because he saw the way that God was at work within his life. First question is this, what are the stories that define me? As you think about your life, what are those stories? What are those challenges you've walked through? What are the difficulties that you've experienced? And then the follow-up to that would be, how have I responded? How have I responded to that? Have I found myself as the victim? Have I left myself as the villain, as though I can't be redeemed and the story can't be redeemed? Or have I seen how, if I walk in God's grace, if I walk in his mercy, I can live into it and I can experience the goodness of God restored in my life through his mercy and through his grace? And then finally, how can I be intentional about what's next? Part of the challenge of this sermon series that we're going to look at is what are we intentionally called to do in our life? How can we be intentional about our faith? How can we look at the setbacks, the hurts, the disappointments, the mistakes that maybe we have encountered in our life? How can we respond to them as God redeems them in our life, as our bodies heal and our souls are restored? How can God use that to make a difference in the life of other people, to display, as Paul says, the mercy of God for others to see? Beyond that, how can we be intentional about saying, because God has redeemed me, because this is a story that I can tell, how can I be intentional about growing in my faith, going deeper in my faith to see what God might can do through me next? When Paul encountered Jesus on that Damascus road, we're told that he not only began proclaiming the name of Jesus, but he went and he studied. He went and he dove deeper into what it meant to be a disciple of Jesus. Because the story that Paul encountered was that grace had redefined his life. And because grace redefined his life, everything flowed out of that experience. And here's the reality for us, that if we experience grace in our lives, it is going to define us, and it is going to shape us, and it is going to shape everything that follows. And the key takeaway of this is that when grace defines you, your intentional purpose will follow. For Paul, his intentional purpose of spreading the gospel, of showing the mercy of God to other people, that others would come to know the grace of Jesus and experience eternal life, it all flowed out of what grace did in his life. And if we truly experience grace, that's something that will shape and mold us as well. And so this morning, we have this incredible opportunity to come to the table, to celebrate the broken body of Jesus and the shed blood of Jesus. What this is this is an intentional way for us to see on display the grace of Jesus and then to intentionally practice it in our lives. And so as you come to the table this morning, if you find yourself and you are like, I have not experienced this. I have not experienced the redemption of God in my life. I have not experienced that mercy. I have not experienced my even though I was once and then I was shown mercy experience. I want to just invite you just to take a moment as we move through the invitations, we move through confession. Just to surrender your heart to God, to put your faith and your hope in Jesus Christ, to declare that He is the Lord of your life, and to experience that grace and that mercy and redemption within your life. Because I think what will happen if you do is next time you tell your story, it might have a phrase like this: even though I was once, I was shown mercy. And maybe you find yourself and you've got that story, but you haven't been intentional about how you're letting God use it in your life. You haven't gotten to the why. You haven't gotten to the purpose. And maybe this morning is an opportunity for you to pray about what are the next steps I need to take of letting God's grace and my story be on display that others might see it and others might know the truth of what it means to be truly redeemed by God's grace. All of this we can experience together here at the table. Because there are words that we say that we want this to be the body and blood of Christ broken and shed for us, that we might be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by His blood. It's a story that defines us as a church. And it's the story that invites us to see God's grace and mercy displayed within us and for all the world to see.